In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, we beseech thee, O merciful God, that by the intercession of your blessed confessor Isidore, the farm labor to overcome any feelings of pride, and by his merits and example to serve thee with the humility in which you takest pleasure. Those are the words of the collect of today's Mass. The feast of Saint Isidore, the farmer. Some of you here, he's your favorite saint. It's a great grace to have this particular saint set before us, San Isidro. Maybe you can recall some of the hymns to San Isidro that were sung as you were a young child, as you processed through the fields, as you would walk through the places behind the cross and behind the priest, asking for God to send forth rain upon the earth, to give you sweet produce, to make it so that you could joyfully enjoy what it is that the Lord had before you here within the earth and be sustained for another year. San Isidro was a great man of faith, an incredible man of faith, who lived at a time when there was not always the true faith around. He was a Spanishman, a Spaniard. He was born in 1070 or thereabout. I'm not real sure when he was born. He was just a peasant. But he died aged 59 or so, around 1172. He's the patron saint of Madrid and has even one town in my home state that's named after him. San Isidro. What can we say about him? He's a man of very many miracles. In fact, the annals that I was reading earlier today say that they count 438 miracles which he performed. A simple peasant farmer. 438 miracles attributed to him. And he was just one who tilled the earth. What are some of those miracles? There was one particular time when it was a snowy day and the mill on the wheat was to be ground. And so as he was carrying all sorts of grain that needed to be produced there, and he would be paid for whatever it is that he could produce, he was passing by a particular field where there was pigeons there who were pecking at the tough earth. As they were scratching and scratching at the ground there beneath, their little claws could make not a dent within that frigid ground. San Isidro, he took compassion upon those creatures. Seeing what he had was exactly what they needed, went ahead and said, God has given me everything. God says that the birds don't need to store in barns for themselves. God will provide. Might I be the one who God is using to provide for the birds of the air? And so he took half of that sack of grain, poured it out there on the ground for that mass of birds, senseless creatures, which they gobbled up very quickly. And then he went on along the way, trudging, wondering, well, am I going to be beaten for only having half a sack of grain? And for what I do get paid for this, will that be enough to go forward? When he arrived and sat the sack of grain down in front of those who were there to grind it out in the mill, what happened? It was a full sack. When the mill went and produced all that flour that was there, what happened? It was enough grain to produce that would be produced normally by two sacks of grain. God works miracles for those who take compassion on little creatures. Again, what about another miracle story that we know for sure what we should expect from the intercession of such a great saint? The most famous miracle of San Isidro is, because he was a man of deep and profound faith, what he used to spend all morning doing is visiting the particular churches that had dedication to our Mother Mary. He would go from church to church in the morning, go from Mass to Mass, rising early at those hours, long before the laborers would get there, just in this devout way, and visit there and stay for the whole of the Mass, and then go back. In those days, it was not common for one to make a daily communion. He would stay, pray, and then go. His fellow laborers were jealous of him, because he always seemed to be taken care of. He always seemed to have more than they had. When they would talk about things, he wouldn't engage in their gossip. When they would curse and speak badly about the particular priests of the area or whatnot, he would not engage. And in fact, he would tell them to respect God, to love him who provides all things, who we must depend on for everything. When they would go through a difficulty, he would say, praise God, maybe the Lord has something to do in this. When somebody else would receive a great blessing in some sort of way, some sort of gift, he would always turn it back to God. And because of that, his very presence seemed, as it were, a difficulty for everybody who was around him, because they wanted to remain secular. And he was nothing but living in the secular, for his whole being belonged to God, and he recognized that. So they conspired about him. What can we do to destroy such a man? They had an idea. He depends upon the dueño to get everything it is that he makes. He depends upon this job which he has here. We'll take the job from him, because he shows up late just about every day, because he's doing that church thing. We'll teach him. And we know the dueño wants to make sure that everybody gets here on time. We'll give him as a sacrificial lamb to make an example, and then we will be rid of this just man. So hatching the plot, they went there to Juan de Vargas and told him about the difficulty of this Isidro, and he said, aha, here it is, so that I can make an example and everyone will fear, because what will happen to him when he's not able to make a living? So Juan de Vargas hid there within the fields as he waited for the clock, for the bell, rather, of the church to strike the hour, which would prove that Isidro was not there, for he would be about doing his church thing. He heard the bell toll, and so that everybody would see what he was doing, who was out about there beginning their work, he poked his head outside of there to look and to see the ox and the plow, which were not being used. And as he pulled his head out, what did he see? He saw there before him the ox and the plow moving, as it were, as by their own accord, beginning to plow the earth right at that very moment. So he took his hands to his face and moved his eyes, not able to believe what he saw before him. And what did he see this time? He saw that he indeed was incorrect. He was not seeing correctly. For that plow and that ox were not being driven to plow the field by thin air. It was actually angels that were doing it. He saw the fearsome angels that were moving the plow, as it were, there before him. And so seeing the angels, just like the children at Fatima, just like so many souls that see angels in a time, felt the weight of the divine presence, even mediated through the angels. And so afraid was he that he fell to the ground. And when he finally recovered and was able to stand on his own, he didn't stand by himself. He crawled backward and went the long way around, lest he should look upon these fearsome creatures plowing the field for Isidro. Never again did Juan de Vargas ever threaten San Isidro, or did he ever come again to check on him for his work? What's the message in that for you and I? What does it say in the Gospel of Luke? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that is his right way of doing, and then all those other things that you think you're so worried about and you need so much, they'll be taken care of besides. God first. Primero Dios, no? First God. First God. And so it is that you and I should seek to put God first, so as you are doing on a day when you don't have to be here, but to honor God and to reserve right veneration for Our Lady, and they will take care of all the things that are necessary for life and indeed for holiness within this life. Some of the other things which happened over the course of the life of San Isidro. You see, he had a faithful wife, Maria de la Cabeza, and the two of them had one child that they struggled to have, even within their age. God had not blessed them with children. And when they finally had a child, he befell a great and terrible horror. He fell into a well. In falling into that well, they prayed and they prayed, God, don't let the child die down there. Don't let the child die and to drown there in the well. Because there was nothing they could do to be able to pull him up. And what happened in that particular moment? We find that when the two of them, were there with the water in the well, then miraculously what happened is the water in that well immediately began to rise and rise and rise, such that that child rose with the water as well, all the way to the top, such that after that devout prayer of this devout woman, Maria de la Cabeza and San Isidro, he was able to just pluck his little child out. And from that moment on, the two of them made a vow to God to swear their chastity, to celibacy, such that Maria would live in one home, and Isidro would live in the place next door, and they would keep holy chastity in that way, all to the end of their lives, which they kept. Let me tell you about another miracle, because God hears, as the scripture says, the fervent prayer of a righteous person. It says it avails very much. Another story of what God can do. Again, San Isidro was very generous with what little meager earnings he had. He was not a rich man, he was a peasant farmer. And when he'd see somebody else who was begging, somebody else who didn't have anything, he would often collect them on his way back home to bring them back. And whatever it is that he had, he would distribute it to them. The difficulty was, on this particular occasion, there were a lot of beggars that he picked up along the way. And when Maria, his wife, saw that they were there and saw what little stew she had within the pot, wondered, well, I'm not sure anybody's going to be able to eat tonight. And so as more and more of them came in, she scraped the bottom of the stew. And it was a stew pot that seemed to never end. Everybody not only received a little, everybody received enough to have distended bellies. Panza llena, corazón contento. When the belly is full, the heart is content. And so each of them trusted more deeply in God, who knows how to multiply all things, because the whole world and everything that is within it belongs to God. And he provides for those who put their trust first in him. Again, taking care of those who are least among you. Because it is Christ himself. We have two very detailed accounts of this exact same miracle happening within the annals. There was another time when San Isidro was taking his things back, and all of a sudden he arrived to find that his donkey, his only donkey, was being attacked by wolves. And knowing that he himself could do nothing in the face of that great wolf, much less his animal there, he ardently beseeched God that God would save his animal from these wolves who were surrounding all around his animal just to destroy him. And at the prayer of faith, all of a sudden a bright light shone, struck the ground, and each of these wolves scattered, each to the ends of the fields, not to return, saving his donkey, a beast of burden. Again and again, we can talk about various moments. There's even one story that speaks about the way in which he healed a dead man. You can find that even that after his death, many of the Spanish royalty beseeched his intercession and received great gifts over the course of their life. He said to have appeared to Alfonso VIII of Castile and to have shown him a hidden path at which he would use to surprise the Moors in the quest for the Reconquista, for the reconquering of Spain, so that it would no longer be oppressed by the Muslim hordes, but so that it could be all one Catholic kingdom united under the cross, not the demonic crescent moon. And so, through the intercession of San Isidro, Alfonso VIII found a path, hidden path, which he was able to surprise the Moors in an ambush attack and gain victory at the place of Las Navas de Tolosas. Again, King Philip III of Spain was cured of a deadly disease after he touched the relics of the saints, and afterwards replaced that general relic of the saint with one that was costly silver, and instituted his process for beatification from that moment onward. Throughout the whole of the history of the royal family of Spain, they've always taken great care and devotion, beseeching him for miracles of healing within their lives, touching themselves to the relics, seeking God's graces for them. It's said that even Saint, she's not a saint officially by the church, but Isabel of Spain was known to have kept one of his toes with her close by, calling upon his protection of all of Spain. We could go on and talk about the countless 438 miracles attributed to this saint. But the bigger thing is for you and I to become like him in sanctity. Have a trust in God. Have a trust in God that he cares about the things that are most important to you. If you really listen to what the Gospels say, if you put before them with faith to trust that God wishes good upon all his creatures, and if you just pay attention to what the Gospels say and really seek to live them out, as the Psalm says, we've never seen, he's lived many years, and he's never seen the righteous person begging for bread, nor his children go without food. God always provides for those who put him first, whether it's in small things of caring for pigeons or donkeys, whether it's in the greater things of caring for the life of one's child or one's job. When one puts God first, he takes care of absolutely everything else that is of matter and important to us. Seek first the kingdom of God, his right way of doing things, and then all those other things which seem to matter so much to you and I, they will be given to you besides. And just like in the life so countlessly done in the life of San Isidro and Maria de la Cabeza, his wife, those who trust God and love him dearly, he is always close to them and hears their prayers and comes to their aid. As St. James says, the fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. And when you ask for a righteous man, like the saint which we have today, San Isidro, his prayers for you can avail very much as well. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.